Welcome, as always, to Truth Be Told, and thank you for joining us. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and today we will be continuing our journey into rediscovering Christ. I believe it is a worthwhile journey, one that will surely open our eyes to the majesty, the grandeur, and the sovereignty of our Lord, one that will humble us and draw us closer to Him, teaching us to prize our relationship with Him above all else, realizing that we are truly blessed simply by knowing Him and having fellowship with Him. Yes, we are blessed simply by knowing Christ. We are blessed simply by having fellowship with Him. The entire world, all the money in the world, all the riches in the world, cannot compare with the knowledge and fellowship of Christ. As always, these audio teachings are free to listen to, free to download, and even distribute. And they are being produced exclusively for handofhelp.com. I have been getting your questions, and as soon as I have a little time, I will do a special program wherein I will be answering the questions you sent in, as well as reading some of your comments concerning this new outreach of Hand of Help. Now, since we began our journey in the Gospel according to John, in our quest to rediscover Christ, today we will tarry here for just a little while longer and look at Christ through the eyes of His contemporaries. Those who shared the same space, the same air, the same food, those who saw firsthand both His ministry and His life, and see what their conclusions were concerning Christ. It is somewhat more difficult to believe something concerning someone when the person regaling you with the story heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from an acquaintance, but it is far easier to believe first-hand accounts, the words of those who were there, the words of those who saw and touched and felt and heard for themselves. Even a cursory read will tell you that the Gospel according to John is very different than the other three Gospels that come before it. While the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us of the works and the miracles Jesus performed and about what He taught, the Gospel according to John tells us, and insistently so, who Jesus is. The Gospel, this Gospel in particular, the Gospel according to John, the last to appear in chronological order, came as an answer from God concerning the false teachings that were being spread throughout the land concerning the person of Jesus Christ. As I believe the entirety of Scripture is divinely ordained and divinely inspired, the wisdom with which God reveals the person of Jesus and who He is in the Gospel according to John is truly wondrous to behold. We need to realize something, that even during the first years of Christianity, shortly after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, there were countless individuals who promulgated and spread various heresies concerning the identity of Jesus. No, the devil never sleeps, and he hoped that he could bring confusion and division from the onset among those who believed in Jesus. The enemy knows full well that a divided house cannot stand. And so his primary purpose, even at the genesis of Christianity, was to bring division, to cause infighting, backbiting, and arguing, rather than allow the body of Christ to follow its natural course towards prayer, towards fasting, and towards righteousness. We need to realize that when we're focused on arguing with each other, when we're focused on infighting, when we're focused on backbiting, we don't make time for prayer and for fasting and for righteousness anymore. We're so consumed with defending our denominationalism, we're so consumed with defending our pet doctrine, that we miss out on that relationship and that intimacy with Christ, that prayer, that fasting, that reading of the Word, that quest for righteousness that brings us closer to Him. You know, even from the onset, this is what I find amazing, from the get-go, from the very beginnings of Christianity, Such groups as the Ebionites brought in destructive heresies, teaching that the Spirit came upon Jesus of Nazareth upon his baptism, then left him upon his crucifixion, that he was a prophet and a messenger of sorts, but by no means the Messiah. Now, if we study church history with any sort of diligence, we will plainly see that throughout the 2,000 years that Christianity has been active, there have been such heresies that have popped up from time to time throughout the world. Today, the Hindus will tell you that Jesus came as a messenger of light to better the karma of the planet. The Muslims will tell you that Jesus was a worshiper of Allah. Legalistic Jews will say that Jesus of Nazareth was the most detrimental figure to come out of their race. Others will say that Jesus was the incarnation of the angel Michael. And there's even one guy in Florida that says he is Jesus reincarnate. So there you go. Deception never sleeps. The enemy never sleeps. And there is no shortage of opinions on Jesus. That's for certain. Now, it's easy to get caught up in the he said, she said of 2,000 years, to rifle through endless manuscripts and old dusty books trying to find what others thought about Jesus, or who they thought that he was, or we can go to the Word of God. It's a lot simpler. Trust me, it's a lot simpler to go to the Word of God for first-hand accounts and discover who Jesus is, then humbly fall to our knees at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to reveal himself to us personally. As I said, the following declarations were made by men who were there, who spent significant time in the presence of Christ, who saw and felt and heard and witnessed those things that we read about within the pages of Scripture. Personally, I'll take the corroborated first-hand account of someone who was present for a certain event over hearsay any day. Since we're still discussing the Gospel according to John, it's only fitting that we first see who John believed Jesus to be. Whether in the first two verses of his Gospel, wherein he declares the often quoted, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Or his introduction on the book of Revelation, we see that John declares without equivocation that Jesus was with God in the beginning, eternal and everlasting. We also see John declare that all things were created through Christ, and without him nothing was made that was made. This is confirmed to us in the epistle of Paul to the Colossians. Colossians 1:15 and 16 say this, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." As discussed on the previous program, John also declares that Jesus is the light of men and the life. This is confirmed by none other than Christ himself in a later chapter of John, namely the 8th chapter. John 8:12, I believe, says this, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Well, all right, Brother Mike, we know that John the Apostle thought greatly of Jesus. We know what he thought of him. But let's face it, you know, he was sort of partial. He did write a gospel, after all. True. But he was not the only one who declared, even upon pain of death, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came that we might be redeemed. Jesus revealed himself to the men of his time, and the impact, the realization of who he was, was so great on these men that they went to their deaths gladly in defending the name and the person of Christ. What are you willing to die for? What are you willing to lay down your life for? And I'm not talking a quick bullet to the head. I'm talking about being dipped in tar and lit a fire. I'm talking about being shredded and torn apart by wild beasts. And the only thing that you had to do in order to escape such a gruesome death was to deny Christ. Yet these men in mass would not deny the Christ because they knew who he is. They knew that he is the Son of God. They knew that he is the Lamb of God. They knew that he is Lord, and they were willing to lay down their lives for this knowledge. John the Baptist, the selfsame John the Baptist who was decapitated, made a startling declaration, at least within the context of the times, concerning Christ upon baptizing him. In John 1, 29 through 36, we're told of Christ's baptism, and we're told what happened and the declaration that John the Baptist made upon seeing Jesus coming out of the water. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him,'" meaning upon Jesus. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, looking at John's declaration, from a purely human standpoint, from within the prism of human thought and action, there would have been no earthly reason for John to say what he did about Jesus. As we see later in this chapter, the men that followed John began to follow Jesus instead. In today's vernacular, John lost his support because he spoke of Jesus in such terms. Those that used to follow John now followed Christ. Now, other than what he said being absolute truth, John had no reason in the world to promote Jesus as the Lamb of God and the Son of God, because he knew what would happen. Now, I realize that those who refuse to believe in Christ and those who make war against him think that the entirety of Christ's ministry was some gigantic conspiracy. But unless compelled by God, with the conviction of one's faith as an anchor, very few people in this world would do something detrimental to their own well-being and welfare, and repeatedly so, even going so far as to be martyred for their faith in Jesus. Kind of a stretch if it was all a giant conspiracy, don't you think? Within the Gospel of John, we also have Andrew declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed, as well as Philip, who declares that Jesus is the one concerning whom Moses and the prophets wrote, and perhaps the most beautiful declaration in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John is that of Nathanael, who declares that Jesus is the Rabbi, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Now, as far as Nathanael is concerned, he was a friend of Philip, who upon hearing Philip say that they had found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, the selfsame Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. When Nathanael heard this, his question was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, this was not a man who was easily convinced. And by his question to Philip, even had a predisposition towards doubting the veracity of Philip's claims. All Philip could say was, come and see. And in John chapter 1, verses 47 through 51, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Now Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Come and see. If you find yourself doubting the lordship of Christ, doubting the sovereignty of Christ, you who are unsaved, you who happened upon this teaching, the only thing I can urge you to do is come and see. Discover Jesus and you will know him as Lord. Discover Jesus and you will know him as King. Discover Jesus and you will know him as God. Now, what's the point of this expanded peek into the first chapter of the Gospel according to John? Well, simply, to cement our knowledge and to cement our conviction that Jesus of Nazareth is our Messiah, our Lord, our King, our Rabbi, and that we ought to follow after him with passion and perseverance to live holy lives, sanctified in righteousness, that we too might see heaven open, that we too might see the angels of God ascending and descending. Throughout the Gospels, we see the declarations of Christ's contemporaries, and all have one common thread. He is Lord. He is the Son of God. He is Messiah. He is Emmanuel. Once again, it would seem that our time together has reached its end. But I would encourage you to keep checking in as we continue this 50-odd part series on rediscovering Christ. If these teachings are a blessing to you, drop us a line and let us know. And if you have the opportunity to tell somebody about them, then please do. Until next time, may you love the truth. May you live the truth. May you speak the truth, and may you spread the truth. May God bless you.